It's the Predator, Corvus said, sounding surprised. We didn't know there were Predators at this level. Nobody ever saw one of those before.
A discovery, Dorn said evenly.
Jaeger glided up beside Corvus.
The bio guys thought all the critters at this level lived off the mana.
That's what they told us at the briefings, Deirdre recalled.
Well, they were wrong, weren't they? Said Corvus. That's what science is all about, Jaeger said a little pompously, busting up somebody's pet theory.
Dorn tapped the timeline display with a prosthetic finger.
Time for Dee and Andy to take their rest period.
Deirdre felt surprised. 6 hours already. We've been in the ocean 6 hours.
Jaeger turned to her with his old leering smile. You need somebody to tuck you in, honey?
No, thank you, Max, Deirdre replied sweetly. I can do it myself. I'm a big girl.
In all the right places, Jaeger retorted.
With Corvus trailing behind her, Deirdre swam to the narrow hatch that led to the bunks. She pulled out a fresh set of tights from the storage drawer beneath her coffin-sized bunk, then ducked into the lavatory briefly. The toilet had been adapted from zero-gravity systems developed for spacecraft. It clamped Deirdre's bottom firmly. She wondered what would happen if she couldn't pull free of it once she was finished. But the collar unclamped easily enough. Deirdre stood up and changed into the fresh tights, then pushed through the doorway to the cramped space where the bunks were stacked, 3 on one side, 2 on the other. They were little more than long, narrow shelves. While Corvus ducked into the lavatory, Deirdre grasped the handbar atop the opening to her bunk and slid her body in. She thought she'd be too tense to sleep, but her eyes closed as soon as she lay her head down. She dreamed of that slithering, devouring monster seizing her in its tentacles and pulling her toward its slashing teeth. But at the last moment of her dream, the monster suddenly was Andy Corvus, and he was holding her tenderly in his arms.
Research Station Gold. Grant Archer came back to the control center and walked down its central aisle to stand behind the mission control chief as the screens on her console suddenly went blank, every one of them. Looking around, he saw that all the other consoles had gone dark as well, together with the big wall screens. Linda Vishnevskaya half turned in her chair and looked up at Archer.
That's it, she said. They're out of contact now. They're into the sea.
Archer nodded. They're on their own. Vishnevskaya got slowly, tiredly to her feet. Her tousled blonde curls barely reached Archer's shoulder.
On their own, she murmured.
The other controllers were getting up from their consoles, stretching, working out the kinks in their bodies after sitting at their posts for so long. The whole mission control center seemed quiet, subdued, as if something had gone wrong. You'll maintain a skeleton crew here, just in case, Archer asked the chief controller. She nodded.
One person. That's enough to notify me and get everyone back here if something unexpected happens.
And if all goes as planned, he prompted.
Then we'll hear from them in exactly 114 hours, Vishnevskaya said with a weary smile. Of course they will be sending up data capsules on schedule.
Good, said Archer. He slowly climbed the stairs to the top level of the control center, where Catherine Westfall sat in one of the spectator seats, flanked on either side by a pair of blank-faced young men in dark tunics and slacks. Trying to make it sound cheerful, Archer said to her, They're in the ocean, right on schedule. For the next 5 days, they'll be out of contact with us. Westfall stood up, and her 2 aides rose like automatons beside her. In her deceptively soft voice, she said,
If something should happen while they're in the ocean,
she left the rest unsaid. Archer thought she looked almost expectant, as if she wants something to go wrong. But he told himself he was being paranoid. Why would she want them to have trouble down there?
Linda Vishnevskaya left the control center reluctantly. She couldn't overcome the feeling that nothing bad would happen to the mission as long as she stayed at her post. She knew it was stupid. Sheer emotion. Still, she lingered, climbing the steps toward the exit as slowly as a child heading for a dentist's chair. Max, she thought. I know you have children my age, and you don't even know I exist except as a fellow technician. But I love you, Max. Come back to me. Don't get yourself killed down there.
Leviathan. The urge to dissociate was growing stronger. Leviathan swam upward toward the cooler waters above, hoping that the darters would be less likely to seek their prey there. Its sensor parts could not detect darters within their range of observation, but Leviathan knew how swiftly the predators could swarm in and overwhelm a lone member of the kin, especially when it was in the process of dissociating. Already some of the flagella members were shuddering with the desire to split away and begin budding. Not yet, Leviathan insisted. Not yet. Be faithful. The time is coming, but it's not yet here. Leviathan had purposely steered away from the current of downfalling food, reasoning that the darters would lurk near it in hopes of trapping a solitary member of the kin. There is safety in doing the unexpected, Leviathan thought. Hunger gnawed dully in Leviathan's inner organ parts. Even the sensor parts and faithful, dull-witted flagella began to send hunger signals to Leviathan's central brain. Wait, Leviathan told its members. Better to be hungry than to be eaten by darters. The water was cooler at this level, which made the hunger pangs all the more insistent. No darters in range, the sensor parts reported. Leviathan could feel the trembling urge to dissociate growing stronger, stronger, rising toward an irresistible convulsion. In a few more moments, the craving would be unstoppable, and Leviathan would begin to disconnect into its separate components. One of the flagella members detached from Leviathan's body, shuddering uncontrollably as it drifted away. Still no darters within sight, the sensor parts reported. But wait. Something was moving out in the cold darkness, coming closer. Leviathan desperately commanded its member parts to resist the craving to dissociate. Its brain studied the image the sensor parts were observing. Not darters. Something strange. Almost as large as a full-grown darter, but misshapen. Round. Spherical. Cold. And hard-shelled. Something alien.
Faraday. Something's out there. Dorn muttered as he stared at the central display on his console. Corvus floated to his side and peered at the screen. I don't see anything. Deirdre and Jaeger came up too, floating high enough in the perfluorocarbon liquid so they could look over the shoulders of the two men. Dorn said, Pressure sensors are showing that something is moving out there, sending an irregular pattern of waves through the ocean. Fish? Jaeger suggested. Switching to active sonar, said Dorn. Faraday's sonar system used sound waves at too low a register for human ears to detect. But almost immediately, Deirdre saw a shape appear on Dorn's central screen. Glancing at her own console, she saw the same image. 73 kilometers away, Dorn muttered. Corvus nodded. At that distance, the thing must be at least 10 clicks across. We got one, Jaeger hooted.